So this is the fifth, and some would say, thank God, the final week of the gospel readings that have been taken from the sixth chapter of John. All of these for the last 5 weeks have been focusing on the bread of life. I preached a sermon on it last week. Some of you may know that, and I'm going to preach that sermon to you again. You heard right. I'm actually going to preach the same sermon to you again. That's just in case you weren't here, or you got distracted in the middle of it, or may have nodded off. I'm going to preach the same sermon again, but this time in the form of a story. A story that follows the theme of that sermon last week in its attempt to reflect on the words that Jesus has given us that shape our understanding of the Lord's Supper, this our Eucharistic feast. And so, once upon a time, because that's the way all good stories begin, once upon a time there was a farmer who lived at the foot of a great mountain. It was said that the mountain beneath which he lived was the greatest mountain in all the world. The farmer lived there along with his only son. His wife had died long ago, and he never remarried. He seemed perfectly contented to live alone with his son, teaching the lad his family trade, farming. They were poor. The small piece of land on which they lived was not all that good for farming. They managed to plant a decent crop of wheat each season, some of which they sold, and some of which they kept to make bread. Bread was their main source of nutrition. It was good, and it was hearty. This was not an easy life, and from time to time, the farmer indeed became dissatisfied. He knew that life was not perfect, and for the most part, he was contented. He had his land, he had his crop, he had his bread. Most of all, he had his son, whom he loved more than anything else in the world. Unfortunately, the farmer's son was unwilling to accept that life isn't perfect. He too loved the land, he loved the simple meals they shared, and he loved his father very much, but he had also seen the way some of the people in town treated those who were wealthier in the community. He saw how they never had to stand in line to buy things. He saw how they always seemed to have the best seat at the local tavern. And he wanted the same for himself, and he wanted it for his father. From time to time, the son would notice travelers passing by the farm, eager to climb the great and dangerous mountain. In the son's eyes, these were brave and adventurous travelers. He heard stories about the mountain, how it was made of gold and silver, and he wanted to find out if those stories were true. He wanted to join the travelers to search for those riches so he and his father could sit in the finest seats and cut in line. The father, too, had seen the travelers pass by on their way to the mountain of silver and gold, and on occasion he had considered going up as well, but he always thought better of the idea. He had also noticed something. The adventurers never returned. And while he wished his life could be better, he wasn't willing to risk what he had. So when his son came to him one day and told him that he had decided to go up to the mountain and to seek his fortune, the old farmer became afraid. Afraid about what the fate would be for his son. Desperately, he tried to dissuade him. He begged, he pleaded, and when that did not work, he tried what every parent is forced to do from time to time. He said, "I forbid you to go." But the son thought his father had simply been out in the fields too long and replied, "You don't tell me what to do, old man. I will do as I please. Even if that does not please you, then too bad. When I have gained wealth, you will know that you are wrong." And with those words, he turned and departed for the mountain, not even looking back at his father who stood alone in the fields. Days passed, and they passed slowly for the farmer. Life had not been perfect, but at least he had had his son. But now the boy was gone and the farmer alone. Even the bread he baked seemed to lack taste when eaten in solitude. Months passed and there still was no sign, no word on his son's fate. The man became more and more distressed until finally he could stand it no more. He knew that even though they had departed with bitter words, his son would have been returning to home if he had been able. And so the farmer began a long climb up the mountain. It was an arduous trek, and finally the old man reached the top. There the farmer found that indeed the rocks were made of gold, and indeed the streams were made of silver. Here were all the things he thought could make life better for him and his son. But all these things he barely noticed. All he wanted to do was to find his son, to bring him home once more. And while he sat there at the top of the mountain wondering what to do, he noticed an old beggar sitting nearby at an entrance to a cave. "I'll ask him if he's seen my son. Perhaps he will know what fate has befallen him," he thought. But even before he could speak the words, the old beggar stood and greeted him by name and said, "You seek your son, no doubt," in a tone that didn't expect an answer. "Your son is not dead, of that I can assure you, but he has been seduced by the mountain. He dwells within the caverns of darkness. He knows not where he is, nor even does he recall his own name. But don't despair. The mountain will give back your son if you can cause him to return willingly with you. Help him remember his name. Help him to remember the love that he knew, and then he will return." Well, at first, the farmer was rather perplexed by this. He and his son had known good times together, but when they parted bitterly. "How can I convince him to return with me? How can I remind him who he is? How can I make him trust me again?" And he thought, wondering what he could do. And finally, he hit upon an idea. And as quickly as his old feet could carry him, he raced back down the mountain, went to his home, and picked up a loaf of bread. He thought, "We've shared so many good meals together with laughter. Perhaps this will help him be convinced to come home." Upon returning to the entrance of the cave of darkness, he gave a portion of the bread to the old beggar, and then without hesitation went into the darkness of the mountain. There he searched until finally he came upon his son. The son had changed so much that he hardly recognized him, but realizing that it was indeed his child, the old man carefully broke a piece of bread from the loaf and gave it to him. The youth looked at him without recognition. He acted as if he had never seen this strange man before him who offered him bread, and then slowly, hesitantly, he took the bread and placed it in his mouth. As he chewed the morsel of bread, he felt within him something stirring, a memory that he could not quite place. A second bite, and the feeling began to get stronger. Still, the stranger who offered him bread was unfamiliar, but the bread itself seemed to speak of him, of a relationship, of a life he had once lived. He remembered the warmth of the sun on his face as he awoke from a restful night of sleep. He remembered moments of longing for something more. He even remembered an old argument, a terrible row with someone he knew and trusted. not unlike the stranger who sat before him. The third bite. And then slowly, uncertainly, he reached forth his hand to the stranger who was his father. He still did not know who the old man was, but he knew that what he offered was far better than the darkness of the caves. His father took his hand, and together they rose and left the darkness.